Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning and see all you good-looking people.
Good to see you, Bob.
It's good. I was kind of hoping you wouldn't be here, Alice, because I know I told Alice to have some questions. I didn't really mean that last week because she said she was going to be out because her family was coming back from California, and here she shows up.
Six feet apart.
Okay. I've got a message this morning that, you know, it's really not a sermon. It's something that I hope when we get done today in a few minutes here that you're going to have a renewed interest in something that I've just recently had a renewed interest in. And it's amazing in my life how the Holy Spirit has taken me by the hand as my guide and led me through down the path of certain things that I 5 years ago I had no interest in. I didn't have any reason to even think about it. For you guys that don't know, most of you have heard my story. There are a few people that haven't. My dad was a minister. I grew up in the church. My dad had two churches in 42 years. He planted several churches. So I've been in and out of church most of my life. And I did this every Sunday morning. I walked in the door and sat down and I smiled and did my thing. And that was okay. I mean, that's where the Lord had me at that time. Since then, in the last few years, through the prison ministry, I'm involved in a local prison ministry, and the Lord has showed me some things. And it's been amazing. And I have thanked Him every day of my life since then that I had the opportunity to do that because it has changed my life. It has changed the way I look at each day. It's changed the way I get up every morning. So I'm gonna talk about something this morning that the Lord had laid on my heart. But I'm going to ask you a question first. And don't be put back by this. This is going to be a little bit different message. But how many people sitting in this room, and you can raise your hands or not. I'm not going to take a tally. I kind of think I know, especially from the men's point of view. I don't know what women think at all. I ain't got a clue about that. Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't have a clue, but maybe some of you will speak up. How many of you folks sitting in this room this morning are looking forward immediately, right now, to go to heaven? Okay. How many of you are lying? Okay, good. Good. Yeah. One of the things that I, like I just mentioned, I was a preacher's kid. And I was an outdoorsy kind of guy. You know, I was the kind of guy that, you know, we grew up on a farm. And I used to hear about heaven. And I was kind of hoping it would be when I got Charlie's age or even older. I throw that in, Charlie. Yeah, I didn't want to go. I didn't have any idea of what it was, but I didn't want to go there. But I didn't want to go to hell either. So it beat the alternative. And that was enough for me at that time. That was weird. You know, I didn't really want to hear, I never really heard any messages about heaven. Never heard many preachers speak about heaven. They spoke about going to heaven. They spoke about how you get to heaven. But they never really spoke about what heaven was going to be like. Through the prison ministry, I've got a lot of my men that come every Wednesday night or until we had the COVID outbreak that are doing multiple life sentences. I tracked those people. I mean, it's cool. I'm so glad that I can have time with those guys. But when a guy my age or a little bit younger, when a guy your guy's age comes up and says, you know, that tonight's my 35th anniversary of being incarcerated and I'm doing double life, it's like, wow. And he's in church, and he's, you know, how's your day? It's good. It's good. Oh, by the way, today's my anniversary. Like, well, you know, happy anniversary. He said, I've been locked up 35 years today. And he's serving Jesus. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me with that. That's what started. This inmate's name was Russell. Russell's doing two life sentences for killing a husband and wife. Cold-blooded, walked in the house, killed them, robbed them, was a heinous guy, deserves to do every day of his life in prison. I don't care how much he loves Jesus. He deserves to pay that debt to society. I don't ever take that away, and I've spoken to him about that. But the Holy Spirit spoke to me when Russell told me that and said, we got to give this guy hope. His life is going to be spent behind bars. Not unlike some people that are free with freedom, but this guy's going to spend his entire life incarcerated. And he's in the Word, and he's talking about Jesus, and he's sharing Jesus with other people. He's a disciple. He's also making disciples, and he's co-laboring in the kingdom. But he's tired. He has no hope. And I never spoke with Russell about what the Holy Spirit laid on my heart. The Holy Spirit said, you need to learn about heaven. You need to learn about what heaven's going to be like. You're going to need to, you know, this guy has blown this life on earth. But for the grace of God, I had blown my life on earth. I shouldn't be alive today, like some of you. We had messed that part of it up. But I wasn't looking forward to heaven. I was just looking forward to changing my life on earth. We don't have that opportunity. The Holy Spirit spoke to me that through that. A few weeks, I didn't pay any attention. It's the way the Holy Spirit laid something on my heart, and next thing you know, I'm thinking about work, and I'm thinking about doing things just like everybody else. And I'm riding down the road, and I have a 106.9 on my van, and all of a sudden Chip Ingram comes on. I love to listen to Chip Ingram. I really do. He's really good, and I'm sure most of you have and do. And Chip Ingram came on, and he started talking about heaven. And the Holy Spirit said, you need to listen to this. I said, well, Holy Spirit, I ain't got time to listen to this. I got to go to work. You know, I got an appointment I have to make. So I made a mental note of it. I pulled in the person's house. I don't remember where it was, and pulled in, probably was in their crawl space doing some mold remediation. And I got done that day, and it came back to me real clear. You got to look up Chip Ingram and see what he was talking about. I did catch a snippet of that sermon, that lesson. Chip Ingram's dad was dying from Lou Gehrig's disease and a couple other things. He was a believer in Christ. And he had called Chip and said, you know, he was getting close to his departure of this world. He said, I'm scared. He said, I don't want to leave. I don't want to die. I'm not sure what it's going to be like over there. I know Jesus is my personal Savior, but I don't want to go there. You know? And I heard that part of it before I shut the radio off. And I thought about Russell in prison. And I'm thinking, you know, where's this? What's this? What are you trying to tell me, Lord? So I go home. I get on my iPad. I look up Chip Ingram. And there's a three, and you can do it. It's free. You can download it. There's a three-series lesson there on the real heaven. And I listened to it. And it's amazing. And I have to tell you, at 62 years old, I didn't have a clue what heaven was going to be like. What I've been taught about heaven is that we were going to, you know, we're going through right now, for you folks that are not here every Sunday, or some of our guests, we're going through the book of Acts. And we got to Thessalonica, and we transitioned in the book of Thessalonians, and we are talking, Kurt's doing a great job talking about the rapture and how we'll be raptured at any moment. And not going into doctrinal differences, or some people believe in pre-trib rapture, post-trib rapture, mid-trib rapture. He's going to get into all that, I think, next week. But I believe that the believers that serve Jesus Christ will be raptured. And I really wasn't sold on that. I'll be honest with you. I didn't want to be in church all for eternity. I mean, eternity's a long time. And I thought about, you know, what I still had that little child's imagination of what heaven was going to be like. You know, I want to go trout fishing, and I want to go, you know, ride four-wheelers, and I want to go explore the world. And I didn't, you know, it didn't seem like that was my kind of place. You know, I was a preacher's kid by default. I didn't choose my dad to be a preacher. I wasn't a really good preacher's kid. You know, I wanted to be out there playing ball and doing all that other stuff, and I just never was drawn into church. Just didn't get it. I mean, I got that Christ was my Savior, and I love him, but I just didn't want to spend a whole lot of time with you folks. And I thought that's what heaven was going to be like. So Chip, I went and listened to his sermons, or his lessons on it. He confessed. He didn't know much about it either. He'd been a pastor for 20-some years. He'd never heard anybody speak about it. Been to seminary. They didn't teach it. Most of your theological books have maybe one or two pages about what heaven really is. They, it's all about getting there. So he had to start doing some research, and I listened to all his research that he did, and it spoke to me. And it changed the way I think about it. I'm excited about it, about going to heaven. I'm excited about the rapture. I'm excited about the second coming of Jesus Christ. And the scriptures back up what I'm about to tell you. If you have your Bibles, I hope you do, turn to Romans 12:2. And it tells us a little bit about the preparation, how we're supposed to live our lives. And I've heard all these scriptures before. Don't get me wrong. This is not new scripture. I've read this before. But in light of what I think is going to take place for the believers in Christ, it's important for us to research this. It's important for us to think that, you know, we look at heaven as you know, most of us, unless the Lord returns, the majority of us, all of us, are going to enter heaven through death. So we don't, obviously, I don't want to do that. I mean, I'm not making light of that. You know, I'd like the rapture idea. I like the pre-trib rapture idea because it has very little pain associated with it. We don't have to go through tribulation. All of a sudden, we're going to hear a trumpet sound. What do you think, Vern? Is we're going to be called up? You know, I mean, that's cool. I like that. But we probably, some of us probably won't go that way. Probably maybe all of us won't go that way. So I get that. But what happens, you know, when that takes place? So Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is good, pleasing, and perfect with God." Do not mold yourself. Do not be like the rest of the world. We're supposed to be different. We're supposed to be looking forward to that time. We're supposed to be looking forward to eternity with Christ. We're supposed to be set apart in our thinking about that. And I wasn't there. Turn to Philippians 3:20. I got a couple other scriptures I'm going to share with you. I figure if I talk long enough, Alice won't ask any questions. Philippians 3:20 tells me, "But our citizenship is in heaven. We are eagerly awaiting a Savior from there, who is the Lord Jesus Christ." Well, if my citizenship is in heaven, and everything I do on this earth is for this earth, then the scriptures tell me that I'm working in vain. That will be burned up. You know, if you look at the grand scheme of eternity in our time here on earth where it started, it kind of compares to a dot in a line. Just imagine for a moment that, you know, I had a whiteboard up here and there was a dot on it. And that dot, that little pinpoint dot, represented our life here on earth. Everything we did in that dot was our time here on earth. And then that line that went a long ways represents eternity. Obviously, we couldn't draw that line long enough. Most of my life, I've worked for the dot. Like most of you. Like, that's normal. That's what we do. What the scriptures tell us is the time in the dot, we work for the line. We work for heaven. There's going to be rewards given. There's going to be things that we are going to accomplish. Not that it is a part of our salvation, but salvation is a part of our works. You know, we don't earn our salvation by works, but once we're saved, we, like my prison ministry, once I got involved in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, I wanted to learn more about the Bible. I was humiliated by some of those guys that had been in prison. So that spurred me on to do more studying, to do more praying, to do more of what Christ has asked me to do. So, I always thought that when you went to heaven, that's where you stayed. Never ever thought about it. The majority of people that look at heaven today in the church look at, once you're raptured up, then you're going to be with Christ in heaven. And that's true. The Christians will immediately be with Christ in heaven. There will be no more pain, no more suffering. But that's the intermediate heaven. Scriptures tell us we're not going to spend eternity there. And this is where it gets exciting for me. This is where I've already made plans to be. Because it tells us in the 21st chapter of Revelation, there's going to be a new heaven. There's going to be a new earth. And that new Jerusalem's going to come down. And it's going to be an amazing place. We're going to have a new earth. Little Buck Hill is going to be brand new. It's going to be Little Buck Hill. I think it's going to have a resurrected earth. It's like we're going to have a resurrected body. I think our resurrected bodies, as we go in and we're in the intermediate heaven, and we're spending time where our families are now, where our loved ones are now, they're longing for that resurrected body. They want to be reunited with that resurrected body. It's going to be brand new. Not going to be any cholesterol issues. There's not going to be any, you know, any of the stuff that we're going through as we get older. We're going to have a brand new body. But I'm still going to recognize you. I'm still going to be Bob. That's not, you know, that's going to be weird. But, you know, Charlie's still going to be Charlie. You know, Tim's still going to be Tim. You know, it's going to be, we're going to know each other. And it's going to be brand new. And I'm going to have a whole world to explore. I'm going to have a whole universe to visit. And that's exciting. I was talking to a guy yesterday in Wilmington, North Carolina. And he's been a disciple of mine for a long time now, and I talk with him almost every day. And I shared that with him. And he runs a big company. I don't have time to spend with him a lot. And I said, you know, we may never get done on this earth what we plan to do. We make plans, and they, you know, life gets in the way, and we break our plans and things like that. I said, but when we get to heaven, based on the information that I'm getting now, and I'm just starting this, sir. I'm just starting this research. I'm just getting into the nuts and the bolts of it. I want to learn as much of it as I can because it's exciting. It's changing the way I live. It's changing the way I look at you guys. It's changing the way I look at my neighbors. It's changing the way I pray. It's changing the way I worship God because I'm excited about it. I want to do it today. Lord, come today. And that's a difference. That's changing. That's life-changing. I don't want anybody to be lost. I have a long list of people I pray for. But I told Todd yesterday, I said, there's going to come a time that we're going to be in heaven together. He's a believer. He's bought, blood bought. He understands the message of salvation, to accept Jesus Christ as his Savior, and he's going to be in heaven. I know that. And I said, we may not get half the stuff that we plan to do done here on earth. He's a big motorcycle guy. He likes it. I used to ride motorcycles all the time, and he's got like 30 of them. So he's got one for me to ride. And he takes and ships these motorcycles all over the country. And he gets on an airplane. He flies to where those motorcycles are, and he'll take a two-week trip. Then he'll fly back. They'll bring his motorcycles back. And as we've had this thing in our mind we've been talking about for years about taking motorcycles across the United States on this dirt road. There's a dirt road. There's a trail system. It goes all the way across. You never have to really get on pavement, just put a couple places. I said, we may never get that done. I'm 62, and I'm busy, and you're 58, and you're busy. But in eternity, in heaven, on the new earth, we're going to have eternity together. And I believe there's going to be motorcycles in heaven. I know God wouldn't dare send me to a place there wouldn't be motorcycles. That's the kind of God we serve. I mean that. And I'm going to have this whole world to ride. And I'm going to have to ask Val. Val and I are going to be best friends. I'm still going to know Val, and she's going to know me, and she's going to be glad I'm not pestering her like I do here on earth. But I'm not going to have to ask her permission for me to go do that. There won't be any motorcycle accidents. You won't have to wear a helmet. There's no helmet law in the new earth. I guarantee it. And we'll get to ride. We can take an 8,000-year trip, and it'd still be like the beginning of time. That's exciting. Man, if you can get that, that changes your outlook. It's not going to be just me there's not going to be any church in heaven. What? Really? Because we'll be in God's presence all the time. We're going to be walking down streets of gold. We're going to be in places that we cannot comprehend. The world's going to be brand new. Only thing we've ever seen in this life has been under the curse. We have lived our whole lives under the curse. And we still enjoy good meals. I enjoy these mountains. Thank God I didn't grow up here, because when I see these mountains, I look at them, it amazes me. Every time, Val and I, every time we ride by Grandfather Mountain, we look up and say, wow, it's new and it's fresh to us. But that's going to be every day. Every day. And I'm excited about that. I'm looking forward to that. Jacob stopped by last night, and we had prayer meeting on our brand new deck. First prayer service we've had on our deck. It was amazing. And he prayed for the service this morning. I love that boy. He's an amazing young man. And I talked to him about this message. And he's young. And he desires to be in heaven. He desires to be with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He desires to be on this new earth. When we get there, we're not going to know everything. We're going to know a whole lot more than we know right now. We're going to have a heavenly mind. But we're still going to learn. There's still books to be written. There's still paintings to be painted. There's still pictures to be taken. There's still places to explore. Man, I cannot get over that. That's exciting for me. And I want everybody that I know, everybody that I grew up with, all of my friends that don't know Jesus Christ, I have a new way of presenting the gospel. Do you realize if you don't know Jesus, do you have any idea what eternity is going to be like? Well, I don't believe in eternity. I don't change it. The fact that you don't believe it, don't take it away. The fact that you don't buy into all this as a non-believer doesn't change it. Do you have any idea what that's going to be like to spend eternity in torment, to spend eternity in hell separated from God? But on the other hand, do you have any idea what it's going to be like to spend eternity on a new earth in a resurrected body? It's hard to fathom, folks. It's hard to fathom. I started studying an author named Randy Alcorn, and if you all want to look him up, it's pretty good. It's Chip Ingram got most of his information, and I heard Chip say something about Randy Alcorn, and I purchased his book, and I got it on Kindle. It's 24 hours worth of reading, and that's for me. I like to read, but that's a lot. This is a textbook, and the only thing it is heaven. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pages, 140-some books down through history, Randy read. And I suggest that if anybody has an interest in serving the Lord in its fullest, that they, and there's a smaller version of this. You can get the bullet points in a much smaller book. But I'm going to read this book cover to cover several times. I know. It draws me in. I read it every day to understand how magnificent. You know, when Val and I were trucking, we'd be gone sometimes 3 or 4 months at a time, or once in a while 6 months at a time. And we were having a good time. I mean, trucking for Val and I were fun. We enjoyed it, except when we got DOT'd and the tires went flat and the transmission went out and those kind of things. But, huh? Yeah, going down the road and the steering wheel stops steering it. But other than that, it was great. You know, we did. We were together every day, and we got to see the country. But, you know, the whole time we were gone, we were longing, as hard as it may sound, we were longing for Land Harbor. That's where my home was. My home was in Land Harbor. I was longing to sleep in my bed. You know, I was longing to go to the fly shop in Spruce Pine, you know. Huh? Huh? I wasn't longing for church. I'll be honest with you. I'll be honest. I like going to church. I do. I love it. But I wasn't, you know, it was like the moment I set that air brake in Ingalls parking lot up there where we set our trucks, and I got in that little whatever it was at the time I was riding in, a little Nissan pickup, and I drove back to Land Harbor, and I opened that door, and I walked in. I was home. You all have been on vacation. Some of you have been on extended vacation. Some of you have been in the service. Some of you have been away from home for long periods of time, and you know what I'm talking about. Man, it's good to be home. Man, you know, I don't care how great the world is, it's good to come home. Once you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're no longer a resident of this world. He puts in you a hunger, a desire for that other place. And we try to fill it with all kind of stuff. We try to fill it with success, and we try to fill it with recreation. And that's fine and dandy. It's never going to satisfy us. What we're looking for is that new earth. It's amazing. And let me see what else I got on my notes here. We'll be out here quick. This is a good one. Have you ever wondered? I need more room. What heaven would be like? We've already covered that. Have you ever wondered if we'd have real bodies? I've already spoke about that. You think we'll have real bodies? You think that, you know, your body will be your body, or will we be angelic? Will we have some sort of, you know? This is a good one for Val. Will there be animals there? That's weird for me because, you know, you think so? It'd be animals there. Think your pets would be there? Huh? That's interesting. What's that? Amen. Now, I'm not suggesting that a dog has a soul. I'm not suggesting the dog's human. But I agree with you, Tammy. I agree with you. There's three chapters in the book of heaven about our pets. I know that excites Valerie because she likes her dogs a little bit more than me. That's amazing. We serve a mighty God. He's not going to hold stuff back from us. It's going to be magnificent. What will we do? What are we going to do in heaven? This new earth, what are we going to do? What scriptures tell us? What are we going to do? We're going to rule. We're going to be in charge. We're going to be over governments. We're the bride of Christ. We're not going to be bored. We don't serve a boring God. Why would God make a boring heaven? You know? We have made it boring. Doing what we do the best we can at, but it's not going to be boring. Will we recognize our loved ones? We're not just going to recognize our loved ones. We're going to recognize our loved ones we never met. Scriptures tell us that. There's lots of clues. About 25% of the Bible, according to Randy Alcorn, points to the hidden knowledge of heaven. So I will know people that I've never met. I will recognize them, and I will have fellowship with them. And like I've already alluded to, we'll spend time with him doing great things. But it gets down to this: how we know? How do you know if you're going? I had a really good person this week that I know, and as well as I can know in my flesh, that they're born again Christian. And they told me, I was still on the phone with them, I really hope I'm going to make it. Do what? Who do they sit under? Who is sharing that gospel that you can't be sure? Now, you can miss it because scriptures are real plain on that. Narrow is the way. Not everybody's going to be found out on that way. There's going to be a lot. Christ talks about it in several places, you know. There's going to be a lot of people come to me in the last days and say, Lord, Lord. He's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. But the people that have accepted Jesus Christ, the enemy puts doubt in their hearts. Are you going to make it? They told me, I surely hope I'm going to make it. And I'm thinking, and I told them, I said, look, you're going to be there. You didn't earn it, and you can't lose it, or I'd have lost it. And they just, you know, they're just so... There's, let's see, 1 John 5:13. I think it's here. Let's see here. Toward the back. 1 John 5:13. It said, I have written these things to you who believe in the name, the Son of God, so that you may know, that you may know that you have eternal life. You can know it. Guarantee it. Guarantee it. You can know it. You can put that past and you can start working on the sanctification that comes along with knowing it and start working toward the kingdom. You should waste a lot of time back here spinning your tires wondering if you're his. And that's wasted time. The same person that don't want us to know about heaven, it's the same person that don't want us to have security in our salvation. That comes from the enemy. We don't need to be there with that. So, and that's one of the things we need to know. You know, if you were going to take a trip, if you were going to get on a cruise line, I know Kurt and Karen cruise a lot, and they were going to get on a cruise line, they were going to stop at certain islands and certain destinations, or if Val and I were going to take a round-the-world trip, you know, which we probably won't, but if we were, you know, we'd want to know where the boat's going to stop, or the airplane's going to land, or where we're going to dock. Can we do that research? And I think that's what the church needs to do. We need to do the same thing with heaven. We need to do that research. We need to find out where we're headed. We need to find out when we get there what it's going to be like. I'm just touching on the surface. I'm just hoping that I stir up some interest. If you guys want to do a study on this, I've got the information. I've got all the stuff downloaded. I've got the syllabus. I've got everything we need to do. But I think it's something that's important for us to know. It's something important for us to tell our children. It's something important for us to tell our neighbors. It's something important for us. You know, I get the opportunity through the ministry that I have to talk to people a lot, and not everybody's in the best of shape. As we get older, we have issues. You know, we have friends that have issues. We have personal issues. And if we're really, really unsure, if somebody comes to me and says, hey, you know, I've got stage 4 lung cancer and I've only got 6 months to live and I'm not sure what it's going to be like, I want to be able to set them down and say, look, I'm sorry. But we're all going to go that way some way or sometime. We're all going to get there. But just imagine what it's going to be like. Just imagine what heaven's going to be like. Just imagine what it's going to be like to see the face of God. We can't look on the face of God in our fleshly bodies. Just imagine what it's going to be like to be able to hang out with the saints, to see our mothers and our fathers and our husbands and our wives that have gone before us. I want to be able to do that with some sort of authority, that I can sow peace into a person's life. That's what happened with Chip Ingram. When his dad was dying, he didn't have that peace that he could share heaven. So he had to start researching it. He bought his dad the book, and then his dad got so sick, he put it on audio, and his dad listened to that entire book. And when it got to his last days, and Mr. Ingram was getting ready to pass away, hospice was called in, and they went through the whole thing. Do you want us to do certain things that preserve your time here on earth? You know, we can put a feeding tube in, we can put you on a ventilator, we can do whatever, whatever, whatever. He said, oh, no. Mm-mm. He said, where I'm going, where I'm headed in just a day or two. It was like he was boarding the Queen Elizabeth, like he was, the best cruise ship in the world. He was ready to go. I want to be there. I want to be ready to go. I don't want to have any hesitation. I don't want to have any worries about it. So when I sit down and I look across, I hope I get the opportunity to sow this into other people's lives. Somebody comes to me and says, you know, I'm just not, they didn't give me long. And if we live long enough, we're all going to be in that situation. Some of us have already been in that situation. And I'm going to say, oh my goodness, but wait, let me tell you what it's going to be like tomorrow morning. That's just going to seem like in an instant, you're going to have a new body. You're going to have a new outlook on life. You're going to see people that you cannot imagine. You're going to eat food that you cannot imagine. You're going to see things that your mind can't comprehend. You know, up until about 100 years ago, the church was very conscious of heaven. About 100 years ago, based on my research here, that started to change. As the Americas got more prosperous, as the United States got more prosperous, we started losing the focus of heaven. You know, the people that are in North Korea, the people that are in, the Christians that are in the 1040 window of the non-reached people groups, the persecuted church, they think more about heaven than they do earth, because earth ain't that good. They're under persecution. Stop and think about that for a little bit. You know, we don't want to go to heaven because, man, we got big screen TVs. We don't want to go to heaven because we got air conditioning. You know, we got new cars and new trucks, and there's nothing wrong with none of that stuff, but, you know, this life is comfortable. We're not under any kind of persecution. We talk about persecution, but we don't really understand what it is. I don't. You know, I've never been persecuted, you know. I haven't. So I have lost that focus of being with Christ. You know, my being with Christ is an hour and a half here on Sunday morning. That's, you know, that's what the American gospel has become, and I think it's time, and we may see times. Maybe this is the prelude of, this is the beginning of the times, and we may see persecution in this country. I don't know how long Christ is going to, I know it will happen eventually if Christ stays his return. If the rapture doesn't take place, if it keeps on going in the rate that we're going right now, we will see persecution. But it's changed. We have gotten melancholy. We've gotten used to comfort. None of us go hungry. None of us are, don't have health care. Even if the doctor says you're not doing good, he can at least tell you you're not doing good in an office, in a hospital, and he'll do everything he can to preserve you. But there's nothing going wrong here. I got a poem. Val used to write poems. Why don't you write poems anymore? Val was awesome. She was an awesome writer. And you need to write more. That's a word. That's your word for this morning, because she wrote some great poems. I once scorned every fearful thought of death when it was but the end of pulse and breath. But now my eyes have seen that past the pain, there is a world that's waiting to be claimed. Earth maker, holy, let me now depart. For living such a temporary art, and dying is but getting dressed for God, and our graves are merely doorways cut in sod. Calvin Miller wrote that. He's an awesome writer. He wrote several books on heaven. And, of course, I got that out of Randy Alcorn's book on heaven. That's interesting. That we anticipate, we look forward to spending eternity. And he says, you know, the doorway's cut inside. The grave is just a passing. You know, we still can refer. I used to have a little problem with people talking about death as a Christian. Well, this old body is going to die. We're going to get a resurrected body at the resurrection of the saints. So this old body is going to die, so that's okay. But, you know, it's not that we're going to cease to exist. This old body is going to be worn plumb out by the time I'm done with it, and I'm going to get a new body, and I'm okay with that. And that doorway is cut inside. That's an awesome statement. Jesus never said that there would be life after death. He said there would be life instead of death. That part of us that's going to heaven is never going to experience death. Our loved ones are waiting for us. Some of the stuff I can't prove scripturally, but I can say for assurance that I believe people in heaven see us here on earth, because there are references to that in Scripture. Abraham and Lazarus looks down on a rich man in torment so they could see into heaven. They could see that. The martyrs under the altar today are looking down on earth asking God, how much longer will we have to wait? I think that's Revelation chapter 6. So they have an idea of time. They have an idea of their presence here on earth. But what really hits me, the last several years of my mom's life, she had dementia. And my mom was an amazing person. People would come from all over the east part of where we live to hear my mom speak. She was an anointed lady. My dad was a preacher, but he wasn't that good at it. They come to hear Mom. Mom was amazing. Mom spent a lot of time on her knees. You've heard me tell it. I grew up on a farm, and we didn't have air conditioning, and the windows would be open, and I'd be out in the field working, and I could hear my mom praying, calling down heaven for her family. So I really believe in my heart this morning, without a doubt, that my mom sees me today. And when she got dementia many years ago, I was living for Christ, but I wasn't doing anything in the kingdom. And I believe when she got that heavenly body, she looked down on Bob and she started praying, "Use him, Lord." Because my life changed after my mom died. And it took me a long time to put that together. But I believe the saints today that have gone before us are praying for us.
I really do. And I believe with all my heart that God answers those prayers. So if there's anybody in this building that don't know Jesus, now's the time. You need your ticket punched. We're getting ready to board the ship. And the destination's awesome. It's amazing. I've never been on a cruise ship, but they say there's a lot of food, like round-the-clock type stuff. And, you know, you can get ice cream, just walk down the hall and get ice cream. And I'm not making light of that, but, you know, if that's good, just imagine what heaven's going to be like. You don't want to miss it. And if you have loved ones, and I know we do, we all do, that we're not sure about, that we're not sure they're on the list, then we need to pray. Because time is short, folks. We need to get serious about it. Because God loves them. Christ died for them. He may have included us in that salvation plan. That's amazing. So I hope you got something from it. Anybody got any real quick questions? Alex, you got a question?
I know that one of the denominations will pray for the dead and, like, pray that they'll get out of purgatory and go to heaven.
She's talking about Catholics.
And so this is a, I always thought, I don't need to pray for somebody that's died. I don't need to think about them looking down at me because they're busy praising God. So what you, that last thing you said was
my mom. Okay, you're right, 100%. And that's another question. That's okay. Alice's question was, there are groups of people in the world that pray for people after they die for their salvation or for their journey into heaven. It's called purgatory. I don't believe that. Scriptures don't bear that out. Christ's atoning blood on the cross did the work. When you die, that work has either been done or it hasn't been done. What I do believe is that the ones that have gone on have the ability to pray for us now. They have the ability to pray. I believe they do that. I believe that's in Revelation. There's the martyrs under the altar that are talking about how many more will have to die before you avenge us, or actually praying to God in that regard for those folks that are going to be left to die. It's not that I have died and my mom's praying for me to go somewhere. It's that my mom is lifting me up before God today. I believe that. So that's a good one. A lot of people, when you talk about the intermediate heaven that everybody, a lot of people think that's all there is. We're just going to float around in heaven and sing songs and play harps and do all that exciting stuff that Charlie and I are looking. Yeah, that Charlie and I are really looking forward to doing. Yeah, I'm going to take, you know, Charlie's kind of getting old. I don't know if you noticed that or not, but I want, you know, Charlie used to ride a Harley. So Charlie and I are going to do some Harley riding. You know, there probably only going to be one. There may be two or three other brands of bikes in heaven, but there'll definitely be Harleys there. And they won't break down, which would be a whole different concept. But I really look forward to that. I really do. We're going to have eternity together. Imagine that. That's exciting. Anybody else got anything that they want to, brother?
I know since you're not being able to do the Wednesday night at the prison, would you consider doing a class and let us be your prisoners?
Oh, I would thank you very much. I appreciate that. And I would recommend if any of you do want to get locked up, try to have the judge put you at Avery Mitchell because eventually we're going back. So I will throw that in for the men. It's a male institution. I'd love to. I mean, like I say, it's something that there is some information here that's very deep. It's something that this was like a something I went with what Kurt's teaching on right now about the rapture and what the Holy Spirit laid on my heart with the what I've already spoke about with the fellow at the prison, and then me not really knowing. I was just, you know, I felt just like Chip Ingram felt, not as bad because his dad was laying in a on his deathbed and he had nothing to offer, but I want to have that same ability, and I'm not there yet. There's a whole bunch of this I don't know yet. I'm not saying I'm an expert. You know, there's a disclaimer. I haven't been to heaven. I ain't been there yet. So what I'm learning through the Word. I'm learning through what the Holy Spirit is showing me. And I'm just now scratching the surface. But, yes, I'd be honored. Brother Vern?
In Acts, it says that the Christians would be in one accord. So, one accord. So is that a Honda?
That's a Honda.
Okay, but here's something better, and it's not.
I hope it's better.
Okay, this will be better. In Elijah, they went up in a chariot of fire with horses of fire. And so I'm kind of excited about that. I mean, that looks, the Harleys sounds good.
Yeah, you can sit down. now that's, our imagination, that what you just did was kind of weird, but our imagination was, we can't out-imagine God. So what's going to be there is who knows? I mean, horses, I grew up with horses. I've had as many as 27 at one time. Exactly. So we're going to have a chance to ride horses. We're going to have a chance to, the weird part about it for Kenny and me.
And not fall off.
Well, if we fall off, it won't hurt. Maybe. I don't know. But, the weird part about it now, with all joking aside, it's a deep subject, and I don't want you to read into anything that, some of this is what I've picked up from just a few weeks I've been studying this, but I wanted to share it with you. I want you to get excited about it. I want you to understand that there's something so much greater ahead of us, and it's real close. It's not something we're going to have to wait for. It's not something, it's not way off. And the most important thing I want you to take away from that, let's pray for the ones that don't know Jesus. Let's never pull back from sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. No matter how glorious heaven is, if they're not there, we're still going to know it. It's not going to be wiped away from our memory. We're still going to enjoy heaven. It's not going to diminish it. But if your son or daughter's not there, and we haven't done everything in our power, if your brother, your sister's not there, or your neighbor's not there, and we've done everything in our power, then I think, it's still going to be a situation. We're going to have that knowledge. I really do. I really think that. Now, it's not going to diminish heaven. It's not going to make us sad. I can't even comprehend that, how that's going to be. But I know for right now, I've got a long prayer list of people, and I'm adding to that. And I want to see those folks in heaven, and I know God does. So that's all I have this morning. I had a whole bunch more written down. Val, you got one?
Do you all mind if I interject a spontaneous song?
No. As long as it's a cappella.
You all have heard me do this song before. And it just seems totally unplanned, just in keeping with Bob's message this morning. It's called The Wayfaring Stranger. And I'm a little scratchy, so bear with me. I'm going to probably squeak a little bit. I am a poor wayfaring stranger, traveling through this world below. There is no sickness, no toil, no danger in that bright land to which I go. I'm going there to see my Father and all my loved ones that have gone on. I'm only going over Jordan. I'm only going over home. I know my way, I've forgotten some words, is full of toil and danger. I know my path is dark and steep. But beauteous fields arise before me, and God's redeemed their vigils keep. And I'm going there to meet my mother. She said said she'd greet me when I come. I'm only going over Jordan. I'm only going over home. And I'm going there to be with Jesus. He said he'd seat me at God's throne. I'm only going over.